what Catholic social teaching says is that the resources of the world are there for everybody, but here they're actually for very few. And so another expression is I've heard about Africa is that, you know, it is a very wealthy continent occupied by very poor people. And that's the dilemma. Now, we are seeing change in Africa today, thankfully, because some of the countries that have come through, and this is some of the changes over the 40 years of Trocar's work, we are seeing a new generation of politician and government coming through in Africa. I think African people have become much more articulate. They have a much more educated population now. And I think there's a resistance to the level of corruption that has dogged Africa through the 90s and even into the early 2000s, what have you. And we are beginning to see better government emerge. And so countries like Ethiopia and Mozambique and even Sudan are now have, you know, growing economies. I mean, they're very high growth rates, like 8%, like we used to enjoy. But 8% off a tiny base, I mean, 8% of nothing is nothing. So if it's very small, it is significant growth. But, you know, let's not get the impression that somehow these countries are going to be, in 20 years' time, dominating the world. But they are moving in the right direction. And that's a sign of hope that many of these countries are now emerging in their own right. And I've no doubt that in, you know, 20, 25 years from now, we'll see a very different Africa than we see today. But as I said, the problem of growing inequality in communities, in society, is replacing the problem of poverty. And that is one that will also need to be tackled.
Do you think some of the richness of Catholic social teaching in terms of standing as a critique to capitalism has been lost because other areas or other scandals have come out about the church and people have almost ignored the richness of the social teaching?
I think that is a problem. If we just look at Benedict as he's topical, very interesting is that Benedict came into his office seen as a conservative and titles like the Panzer Cardinal and all this, and there was a certain amount of trepidation. What's this man going to do? And it turned out to be not as bad as we thought. Then, you know, he wrote three encyclical letters. One was on love, one was on hope, and one was on charity and truth, or love and truth. But actually, the one on love, Deus Caritas Est, was largely about social justice. And the third one, charity and truth, was all about social justice. So here's a man who was seen as a conservative. Out of three encyclicals, he writes two of them on social justice. And he was very critical, particularly in the second one, about because it was a response to the economic crisis, about the unfettered nature of capitalism and its lack of accountability to people, to community, a lack of a sense of the common good, that it was about shareholder value and little about the workers and the people who participate. And he was proposing new ways to look at the economy, influenced by the Focolare movement. He talks about the economy of communion or the economy of enough. You know, when do you have enough? You know, and how, you know, we should be able to restructure how we work in a way that values the workers and that everyone has a life beyond just the job and the economy, and that, you know, you get a good balance across that. And he makes reference to how this has been tried in different countries in different ways. And there are good models out there of, I mean, the cooperative movement in Ireland, for a start, was very similar. And people are, you know, operating those at a bigger level now and a more sophisticated level. And he called for new models of enterprise, of employment, of, you know, manufacture, you know, that would set a kind of a challenge to, you know, he says, like, you can't just strip down the capitalist system and replace it, but you can challenge it and give examples of how it can be done in different ways, and encouraging people to think creatively around this, because he says, and I think we all know it in our hearts, we don't want to go back to what brought around, first of all, brought around the Celtic Tiger and then its demise. I mean, an inherently unstable system that inevitably collapsed. And yet there is a sense of, as we try to get out of our current economic difficulties, that we'll just rebuild it exactly as it was. I don't hear much thinking about, well, why don't we rebuild it slightly differently and see, can we, you know, add something to it that maybe mitigate the chances of it going back to where we were. And kind of a sense of, well, you know, it'll all be grand now when we get this promissory note sorted, and another couple of years, sure, we'll be back on the growth path and everything will be fine. And that's just going back into the old cycle of boom and bust and boom and bust. And he is calling for a different way of looking at things. Now, his views were derided by some economists who said this could never work. But I think there are other economists there who realize that the economic system is not really as it should be. And even, I understand, if you go back to the original capitalist people, the Adams and people who founded capitalism, they did have a sense of that wealth would be created to be shared by many, that it wasn't based around shareholder value. It was, you know, they saw that this was how wealth could be created and that there should be kind of a social aspect to it. And that's the bit that has been lost. Now we just create it for its own sake, all that bonus culture. You know, people trading in debt, you know, it adds nothing to anybody. You buy debt, you sell it, you make a profit, you pocket money. It has zero impact on society in terms of adding anything to it. And that is the ridiculous situation that we allowed to develop. And that is the bit, really, that I think the church is saying. There is no moral value in that. There must be a moral value in your economy. And it's not being specific about saying it can't be capitalism, it must be socialism or whatever. What it's saying is, you know, we know there must be growth because that helps to everything, you know, to share. But how it grows, the rate at which it grows, and how it is shared is the real issue. And that, I think, is what has been lost sight of completely over the last 20 years.